Log Talk Radio.
What's up, this is Justin Timberlake.
Hey, this is Ashanti.
What up, it's Jay-Z.
Hey, this is Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, what's cracking, y'all? It's your boy Fabulous.
This is Ludacris.
Hey, what's up, it's your man 50 Cent.
Hi, this is Christina Aguilera, and you're listening to...
Blog Talk Radio, you know what it is. Tonight it is the Rodney Perry Show on Brown Sugar Radio. And I am just, I'm just absolutely thrilled tonight to have such an exquisite guest on the show tonight. You know, I've been following this brother for a while, okay? And it is amazing to me to see his success journey, you know, as he continues to climb, you know, higher and higher, and just doing wonderful things with his career. And I have to say that before I bring this brother live on the air, okay, he was born. I like, y'all know how I get down on Brown Sugar Radio. I like to educate you a little bit for those of you who may be brand new Rodney Perry fans, hadn't been following him since day one, or, you know what I mean, just knowing what it is about Rodney Perry, how he became the successful comedian and co-host of the Monique Show. I want to tell you that it's funny because I remember when I would see Rodney actually on BET's Comic View. And many of you know, previously we had Spanky Brown on the show, and he was also reminiscing how him and Rodney did some things together. And it's amazing to see how God has blessed this man. I mean, just truly taking him, you know, the Hollywood is what we call the Hollywood level, you know what I mean? But the thing about Rodney that is so charismatic is the fact that he doesn't have that Hollywood stuck-up, cocky attitude. He's very humble, down to earth. And you know, I always remember my mama used to always teach me that it's not where you start, it's where you finish. And remember where you came from. And I can honestly say that about this brother tonight, is that he is just doing wonderful things in the African-American community. Not only does this brother, like I said, he was born in Chi-Town, but raised in Monroe, Louisiana, and he's been married for 13 years. That deserves an applause in itself. And he has 5 beautiful children. Tonight, I have to say that we are going to welcome to the stage, all right, y'all ready for this? Are y'all ready, Brown Sugar Radio listeners? We have Rodney Perry in the building. Y'all better stand up tonight because Rodney Perry is here. What's happening,
wow.
Rodney?
What a great introduction, man. Thank you so much for the kind words. My bio needs to be updated, though. We've been married 14 years as of 2 weeks ago, and we now have 6 children. And
What? What? Oh,
yeah.
What the? 14 years.
It don't take me but about 5 minutes, really.
Ooh, you're so crazy. Oh, wow. Well, I just have to say that, golly, a brother on the move, you know what I'm saying? And it's funny because I remember when you and Bill Bellamy with the Who's Got Jokes. That was hilarious, y'all doing your thing, and just to see you evolve, you know, from a comedian and now on primetime TV every day doing your thing. I have to say that, brother, you keep doing what you do, and welcome. This is your first appearance. We got to welcome you in with a round of applause.
Yeah.
first appearance on Brown Sugar Radio.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I'm so excited. I'm glad you mentioned Who's Got Jokes because, you know, people talk, you know, I'm on the Monique Show now, of course, and but, you know, I mean, I didn't just pop up, you know. I've been grinding for a very long time from Def Jam to Comic View to Who's Got Jokes. I actually almost was the host of Who's Got Jokes. That's a story that people don't really know. What happened was they offered the job to Bill Bellamy. He turned it down. Then they started looking toward me, and they came to me, they offered me the job, and before I could take the job, Bill came back and was like, yo, I'll do it if y'all give me executive producer. So Bill Bellamy was actually one of the executive producers of the show, and they came back to me. They're right, you know, we sorry, man. Bill came back. We really want you to be a part of this. Would you consider, you know, coming on board and doing the man on the street and some other stuff? And I figured better to be on TV than not on TV.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay,
yeah.
Got to crawl before you can walk. So, hey, you do it.
Yes, ma'am.
All right?
Yes, ma'am.
You better do what you got to do. I mean, look, he done went from 13 years to 14 years, 6 kids, part-time TV. You know, I just, man, it's amazing to see you doing so much. And now I want to, let's start at your very humble beginning. You know, I like to educate my listeners on what it takes to be as successful as you are. And I just have to say that I know you weren't born with a silver spoon in your mouth, okay?
No, not at all.
But so you can appreciate the level right now of greatness.
I don't
even
know if I have a wood spoon.
Okay. That's real. You know what I'm saying? But Let's take it back a bit, you know, as far as you being, you know, your childhood. I want to know, as a child, you know, what were some of the things that you would do, you know, that were keys to let you know what, maybe I will be good at comedy. You know, what were some of the things that stood out in your life that let you know
this
is the path you should take?
That's a great question. I kind of always knew. I think some comedians are born. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think you can learn the mechanics of being a great comedian or being a very good comedian. But I think I was born to be a comic. And, you know, not the one thing, my family is funny. My mom is funny. My dad was a great laugher. And my uncle was silly. You know, I had those type of people, my aunts and stuff. You know, you couldn't get nothing past them. You know, if you came out dressed crazy, they would let you have it. So those were the people, the human beings I grew up in, and I kind of knew, but I didn't know. I mean, I would listen to Richard Pryor, and I would listen to those party records because my family would have little get-togethers over the house, and they would sit in the living room and listen to Richard Pryor. And I would lay at my door and listen and crack up. But it wasn't until that I found Eddie Murphy and that it became something that I could look at as a profession. You know, when I saw Eddie Murphy, it was something I said. I was like, wow, you could actually make money doing that. He was young and he was black, not only black man, but he was dark-skinned. So I completely identified with him. And I even go far back as I had a teacher, Mr. Thompson, that would let me tell jokes at the end of class at second grade.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at that. So it all stems, you know, basically it's hereditary in the family. The family has a good sense of humor, you know, and, you know, y'all just, I could see that, you know, laughter was something very important in your life and with your family. And to me, I've always said that laughter is good for the soul, you know. It helps
absolutely.
You get through some trying times in life, you know. And so do you have any limits, you know, on how far that you'll take your joke?
Yeah, I mean, my limits are this. I mean, I try not to hurt anybody's feelings, and sometimes that happens, you know, inadvertently. You know, as comedians, you know that, you know, you hear they say in the Bible, there's power in the tongue. Well, you know, that's very true, especially when it comes, you know, from a comedian. So I try not to ever be malicious in anything I say. You know, I try not to be mean. You know, I might talk about your outfit, but it's gonna be kind of very light, you know, But you really, it's hard to control that because a lot of people, you don't know what they're going through. And so I view it, people come to a comedy show to lighten their burden. So who am I to give them more bad energy? So I try to keep it real light, you know. Subject-wise, I'll attack any subject, you know, in terms of, you know, as a comedian, you know, if Bill Cosby in the news, he gonna get it like anybody else would. You know what I mean? So that's, you know, I don't hesitate in terms of that. But, you know, I really try to make my audience as comfortable as possible. You know, I don't really bag on people unless you make yourself a part of the show.
Now, Ronnie, how do they make themselves a part of the show? What they got to do to get all that?
Oh, man. Well, first of all, I have to stop people all the time. Oh, he the comedian. Don't say nothing to him because he going to get on you. Look, for me to take one of my good tried and true jokes and replace it with something about you, you have to be extraordinary. And sometimes people are that. Like, there's a certain integrity you maintain in the room as a comedian. So once you start telling your jokes, if somebody disrupts that integrity, then you got to deal with them.
That's true.
So
that's
what I mean. That's what I mean when I say if they want to disrupt the integrity, they can rest assured I'm going to make you famous that night.
Okay, look. Oh, Rodney was like, we're going to take it there, all right? Like, you want to get disruptive, we going to handle that.
Yeah, because if it's one person versus the whole room, you know, do you let the room suffer because one person want to talk out and stuff? No. You destroy the one
person. That's crazy. Have you ever had someone try to outdo you at one of your shows?
Oh, yeah. Some people, it ain't really outdoing. People think they helping you. You know, it's usually a wannabe comedian. It's usually somebody that feels like they're funny, and they feel like they can best you. And you, it's my duty to destroy you. But again, they're still in my audience, so I really try not to take it there. But if they force my hand, then they just force my hand.
Okay, look at that. Y'all better watch out. So look, if you are at a Rodney Perry show, don't get the tripping, okay, because he will take it there.
it'll be more fun than not, but I know some comedians that are mean. And they do and say mean stuff to people, and you know that's just not my game.
Yeah, that's not your style. Well, Ronnie, how would you describe your sense of humor? You know, you're right. We have the mean ones, you know, and you have the ones that like to do the gay jokes or the love jokes, relationship jokes. What's your style of humor?
I call myself kind of a five deadly venoms of comedy. You know, I do politics, I do church jokes, I do. You know, I do a lot of energy, big energy stuff. I use music-driven bits. You know, I made it my business early on to kind of be well-versed in all of the techniques that we use. So, you know, in any given moment, I can, you know, kick into one of those techniques, whether that be, you know, just knowing current events and being ready. See, I think as a comedian, you should be ready to have an opinion on everything, even if you don't have a joke about it. You should have an opinion on everything. And so that's what I make my business, to have an opinion on everything, whether it's the, you know, the Gulf oil crisis or it's, you know, do women and men, you know, who lies the most in relationships. You know, I need to be able to say something on any subject in any given moment. And so people think comedians are like dummies, but we are probably some of the smartest people around because we have to be kind of well-read to really be effective.
Excellent point. You know, I never even thought of it like that. You're absolutely right. You know, that's a good point you made because it's something, you know, it's a business, first and foremost, and I don't think that the general public view it, you know, as a career, as a job. They must look at it like, okay, I'm just here. He's going to entertain me these few minutes, then I'm going to go on home. But this
right.
is your profession.
It's
yeah.
my livelihood. It's my livelihood. And my family didn't look at it. You know, you look at most of your comedians that you see, or even your singers or dancers, anybody. We're mostly first generation entertainers. Most people don't have a reference point. We don't have an uncle that used to do it or a cousin. So, you know, by virtue of that, when you tell your family to look, I'm going to do comedy for a living, they look at you like you're crazy. My mother told me, shut up and go sit down.
I know she ain't told you to shut up and sit down no more, huh? When she seen how far you've come.
Me for money now.
You see what I mean? She said, look, you keep on doing them jokes and then going to put some money in mama bank account while you're playing.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Now, what would you say, well, before I ask that question, you know, I want to get into who was it that you studied? Because I realize now, after you've mentioned that, you know, that it's an art, you know, as far as
right.
knowing different types of techniques and so forth. Who did you study growing up and you know, that inspired you to be a comedian?
Well, like I said, mostly Eddie Murphy, but there are, you know, you're a product of your peers, too, you know. You know, you're as good as the metal that you get sharpened by. And, you know, I got some great friends. You know, one of my best friends, Harry Ratchford, who is currently writing for Kevin Hart, or my boy J-Dub, or, you know, early on I was influenced by a guy in New Orleans when I first started in New Orleans. This guy, I can't remember his name. No, Wayne Robinson. Wayne Robinson was the first, like, celebrity comic that I saw, you know, or John Austin in the Bay Area, you know. It was so many really good comedians outside of the celebrities. I mean, I was influenced heavily by Robin Harris, of course, Eddie Murphy. And, you know, as comedians, we really don't get influenced. Like a musician or a singer, you know, they'll do an interview and they'll say, well, who is your influence, you know? And he's like, well, I was influenced by Miles Davis. Or, you know, comedians don't get that, because if you're too much like a comedian, you get accused of stealing, and nobody wants that.
Really? That is
yeah.
something, because you're right. That is a question that often intrigues me, you know, is who is it that, you know, I use the word study, because I look at success as being a student. You know, you have to be mm-hmm. a student first. And then, you know, as you learn and you take notes and you just kind of review different types of styles, you know, of comedy, I felt like, you know, certainly you could, what's the word I want to use, admire maybe, you know. But I never looked at it as stealing. But I guess you're right, because if you're on the joke and you tell the same joke that Kevin Hart just told an hour ago, you come out on the stage and you tell the same joke, they're going to be like, what the mess is he doing?
Right, exactly.
You know?
So. You know, we as black people, we share the black experience. So what I found when I start really traveling is that if you don't really stretch your mental capacity, then you'll end up regurgitating or quoting somebody anyway. So you got to really, every joke I tell, I do two things. One, I send it through a checks and balance of like my friends, you know, those people I just talked about. And if I have a thought and I say, well, is this funny first, and have you heard it? If they haven't heard it, that's when I start really developing it. But other than mm-hmm. that, you gotta put a checks and balance, because you know there's so much comedy on TV now, different from when I started. When I started, it was only The Tonight Show and then a couple of choice comedy shows. Now you got BET, HBO, Showtime. You got Comedy Central, all comedy network. You got the Foxhole with the comedy on Sirius Satellite. You got Fox. You got any number of outlets you can listen to comedy 24 hours a day. So what happens mm-hmm. to a lot of young comedians is they have what they think is original thought, but they are just regurgitating something they heard from a comedian 2 years ago.
See, look at that. So it is important to know your craft, you know,
and
really
know.
Dig deep. Dig for originality.
Yeah, you got to know your history. You got to know, you know who used to be hot and why they not, and why didn't he? You know, I've always asked myself those questions, like, hey, why didn't so and so blow up? You know what I mean? You know,
yeah.
And so you have to ask yourself those questions. You know.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of your jokes, what would you say is one of the most memorable events that took place in your life that you actually made it to a joke, a part of your fade show?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I do this joke about my son crump dancing. And that's very true. My son was heavily into the crumping. And, you know, as he got older, I part of the joke, I say, my son is into this dance. I say, I don't mind him dancing. I just, every time I tell him to do something, he busts out in the dance. And that was so true, you know. You know, I think the reality is, if you're a true comedian, then most of your comedy is going to come from real life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that'll afford you the wealth of material that you really need. Because if I can make up jokes, like I can read the paper or I can do certain things, I can make up jokes. But when you read the paper, everything in the paper is fair game to every comedian in the world. Right?
That's true. Yeah,
so,
that's true.
So everybody's got access to the material, but everybody don't have access to your life. So
okay.
You have more unique bits if you just pay attention to your own life, you know, whether it be me talking about having six kids. There's only a handful of comics that can say that they have six kids, you know, and break down each one of their kids, you know. You know, I got my baby daughter, you know, who's just starting to walk, you know. There's comedy in that somewhere, you know. I got my seven-year-old, and my fear is that my seven-year-old is going to be a hoe because she won't keep no clothes on now. You know, that's why I live, you know. And so your comedy is generally going to come from those real places. So, you know, there are
something
tons
that people.
I was going to
say real quick. No, you're awesome. I'm really appreciating this because I'm learning, you know. I'm learning from you as far as the business side of being a comedian, you know, because I enjoy going to the show, sitting back, laughing, you know, relieve stress, sitting there, you know what I mean, just laughing and just, you know, really and enjoying that moment. And I guess one of the questions that I have for you is that, you know, how do you balance, you know, your career and your family life? Because I know it ain't easy taking care of, let alone one child, six of them, you know, okay? How do you keep that all together, Rodney?
It is hard. I mean, it's taxing on not only me, but it's taxing on my family. It's taxing on my children. It's taxing on my wife. And, you know, especially, you know, you're constantly evolving. So what used to be just stand-up is now stand-up and television. And then you make the transition, you know, into film. And now instead of being gone for a weekend, you're gone for a week. And instead of being gone for a week, you're going for a month, you know. And so it is very hard, but you got to have a good support system. I don't think I would be where I am without my family, because my family has forced me. When your kids look at you and tell you they hungry and all you got is jokes, you make it happen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not easy, but I couldn't have done it without them. You know what I mean?
Right. That's true. And now speaking of, okay, taking care of the family and how you actually entered, please correct me if I'm wrong, okay? But I believe that you started, what, didn't you open for Run DMC? Or was it?
I did.
Okay, I want to make sure I'm on board with that.
I opened for Run DMC and for Ray Charles. And,
Ray Charles.
I was in Los Angeles. I was working at, I was doing kind of radio, and so they became aware of me via the radio. And I became friends with a young lady that was booking a House of Blues. Well, Run DMC comes to the House of Blues, they needed to open an act. And they called me to do it. And I did that and had a good set. And then they said, well, can you come back tomorrow? Ray Charles is going to be here. I'm like, hell yeah.
For real.
So I had to open for Run DMC and Ray Charles within days of each other. And I remember that night so vividly because I lost my key. And I had to wait for one of my boys to drive out there and help me find my keys and all that. It was kind of crazy night.
Oh, man.
And Anaheim was, like, right on Disneyland in L.A., you know, outside of L.A. And
that was one of my first that was one of my big moments in my career, you know.
Oh, I know it was, because Ray Charles is legendary, and Run DMC, you know.
Exactly.
And I just, did you have a little bit of, were you starstruck at first when you met him, or did you just step right on into it?
Well, you know, I met Ray, but I ain't sure if he met me. You know what I'm saying? He was like, you know, he's blind.
Yeah. So what was that like meeting Ray Charles?
I remember him being cool. You know, he just said hi, you know, how you doing, and kept going. It wasn't a moment in my life, you know what I mean?
Wow. Now tell us a little bit, Rodney, in regards to this Bay
Big
Area in? Black comedy competition that you were in.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right.
Tell us a little bit about that competition.
Yeah.
That competition, well, just to give you an idea what the competition is, it was, at that time, it had been like one of the premier comedy competitions in the world for black comedians. And it was very valuable to me, because my formative years growing up as a comedian was spent in the Bay Area. So I actually appeared in this competition 4 times total. The first 2 times, my sets were dismal. They were terrible. You know, and I swore off competitions. I was like, this is not about the art. I don't want to be in no competition. You know, how do I look like being in the competition? And, you know, I really swore it off. And a friend of mine reached out to me in like 2001. And she was like, Rodney, She said, Rodney, they really want you to come back to the competition, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know what, I'm not doing it. I don't want to do the competition. But I started thinking about it. And then the guy that was running the competition called me. And you know, he was notorious for managing comedians. And so I was like, oh, he's trying to manage me. He's like, Rodney, I got to be honest with you. He said, man, I see great things for you. And to be honest, I don't think I would do you justice as a manager. He said, but I really want you to do this competition. I think it'll be good for you. And what it gave me more than anything was the respect of my peers. I was grinding, but until your peers respect you on a national level, you don't really exist. So I went back in 2001. I did the competition, and I made it to the semifinals. And in the semifinals, I met Kelvin Bland, who was Cedric the Entertainer's role manager.
Amazing.
And so I met Kelvin Bland, and KB said to me, and this is, I say any comedian that listens to this, it ain't always what you know, it sometimes is who you know. And,
yeah, that's real.
And, then if it ain't who you know, it's just being cool sometimes. So he asked me for a ride back to his hotel, and I was in the Bay Area. I had a car, and I was like, no problem. We took him back to his hotel. He's like, man, Rod, man, you're a cool brother, man. He said, man, you know what? I'm going to plug you up with Sid. And I was like, okay. But, you know, I didn't put nothing on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got a call maybe 2 weeks later. Sid the Entertainer had come off the Kings of Comedy, and he was doing the Bud Light tour. He had did the Bud Light commercials, and so he had a tour bus and everything. He was about to go on tour. And I booked that tour from making it to the semifinals. And that summer, this is a great story. That summer, I went on to my first tour date. It was only supposed to be one date, first of all.
Okay.
And the way the tour went, I would go, you would go to, you would fly into one city, do a show that night, and then you would take a tour bus to the next city and then fly out of that city. So the first cities I did was Detroit, Indianapolis. I did Detroit, killed. I did Indianapolis, killed. And I'm headed home, and I had the little two-way pager. I hit KB. I said, Mr. Bland, man, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity. Please tell Cedric I said thank you, bro. Appreciate it. He called me back. He was like, yo, Rod, can you work next weekend?
because somebody,
wow,
a guy by the name of Mark Howard, his dad was sick. So he couldn't do the date that he was booked on. Long
wow.
story short, that date led to another date. And then, you know, comics are funny. Like, you don't exist to a comedian until he respects you as a comedian, you know.
Okay.
And,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I think I gained Cedric's respect. And because of that, you know, he kind of really became my mentor. And he would always, even to this day, be a person I can call if I have a question about the business or the game, you know. Cedric has been that for me. And so Sid the Entertainer took us out on the road. I played every city. I played San Francisco. I played Madison Square Garden. I played the Universal Amphitheater in Los Angeles. I played the, you know, all the big venues around the country in Houston and Detroit. I played them all that summer. Mm-hmm. And when I went back to the contest in 2002,
mm-hmm,
my confidence was supreme.
You better go ahead now. Look at that.
Because I had saw in previous contests that if you were supremely focused, you could win just by seeing how focused other comedians were and how I wasn't focused. So when I went back after touring with Cedric for a year, I was ready. And that particular year, they were shooting a show for television. So you needed to be clean in the finals, which I never had no problem with playing clean. And I went in there and murdered them all the way through the competition, got to the finals, and destroyed the finals.
Ooh-wee.
And I have that trophy to this day.
Still grinding to this day. You know what I mean? You better go.
Yeah.
Okay. Real quick, what I'd like to do, Rodney, we're at our halfway mark. Usually, we do is take a quick commercial break. And I'd like to shout out the listeners. I want to say that this show tonight is just amazing. And I'm learning so much. You know, it's just, I'm in awe, you know, to find out how much and how detailed you are in regards to what you did to achieve success, you know, in your career, and so we're going to continue this conversation. I just want to shout out the listeners real quick, and then we're going to take a brief commercial break, and we'll be right back. We do have... That's right. we have Apogee's, Cheese Biscuit, Ed Lip, Madison Media Radio, and Mad Sweet, and we have a ton of anonymous guests in the chat room. What I'd like to do at this time is encourage you to please create a user account on Blog Talk Radio. It's complimentary. And, you know, lock Brown Sugar Radio into your favorites so you can be notified when we have hot and exciting guests such as tonight, all right? So big ups to all of y'all coming through and just showing Rodney Perry some love this evening. We are going to get in the second half of the segment, but we're going to take a brief commercial break, so y'all definitely keep it locked on your premier choice in internet radio. We'll be right back.
Brown Sugar Radio.
Brown Sugar Radio.
That's where it's happening. The most impressive show
on internet radio.
Brown Sugar Radio. You don't want to miss a segment of excitement.
We have the hottest celebrities, interviews, and gossip. Breathtaking topics, the latest fashion,
health and beauty tips.
Underground hip hop.
And artists to make you groove, and the best fans to chat with.
Come and chill with the girl Brown Sugar every Tuesday and Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
I'm gonna take my time so I can get a sensual seduction.
Yo, what's up? What's up? This is Troy Taylor, Songbook Entertainment, and I got my man Trey Songz.
Yup.
You know what it is, baby. We chilling right here on Brown Sugar Radio. Keep it locked. You know I need a girl. Come on, man. Here's something for him.
Baby, please believe me when I tell you that I need a girl. So come on, pretty lady, won't you holler back? I need a girl.
Hey, what up, y'all? It's your man, Montel Jordan. Right now, you got your station locked on to Brown Sugar Radio. You feel me? The livest urban show on the internet. Holler at your boy.
All right, y'all. This Blog Talk switchboard, I'm through with it. It kicked me out the switchboard and would not let me call back in. Now I have to continue the show. I truly apologize. This Blog Talk switchboard, I tell you, I'm getting ready to choke his neck. Rodney, I apologize for that. The switchboard kicked me out. Yeah, I'm here. The switchboard kicked me out. Only on live internet radio.
I figured it happened. I just kept talking for a little while. I wasn't sure if I was on or not.
Man, this is ridiculous. I'll tell you, it happened.
I want to listen to the archives because I don't know if I was singing songs and I was acting silly.
You was entertaining for me, holding it down?
I tried my best.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, my goodness. So we take two. See, this is a good thing. At least the Monique Show, you can edit that out. This is live, raw, and uncut. They're getting it all tonight.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay? Wow. Woo, well, here we are. Yeah, live radio. Y'all getting it all, okay? But I did type in the chat room. I was having some problems. And so here we are. And so I just want to say thank you so much, all of you that are joining us. And patiently waiting.
And your switchboard is full, so you know people are listening, so that's hot.
Yes, yeah. And you know that's exactly what happened because I kept calling and calling, and it kept saying it's busy. So I'm like, what you mean it's busy? I'm the host. I should be able to call it to my own show. Anyway,
and you know what? On the real, I think Blog Talk started doing that. So you would buy the premium package that'll give you more calls.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They want you
that's
to,
it.
You know, and I know you're wrong. I love Blog Talk, but, you know, they're trying to get you to pay that paper.
That's what it is. You right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's exactly what it is. I had a question for you, Rodney, in the chat room. One of your fans, Apogees, please forgive me if I'm tearing your name up, wanted me to ask you, will there be any more installments to Cutting It Up?
Cutting It Up. Wow, I tell you about Cutting It Up. I did Cutting It Up. I did one in Chicago, and I did another one that I hosted in Houston. And I actually got a call recently from the guy that produced it. So you never know. It might be another one. And it was a good thing. My man Mark Harris is one of the producers on that as well. So you never know, man. I mean, I do DVD projects all the time. You know, people come at me, one with the right amount of money and one with the right heart on the project. So you never know, man. That's a really funny project. It's probably one of my best tape sets to date.
Look
that
at that.
That I did in Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So check out my Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Rodney Perry, and I'm on my new website is up, rodneyperry.com.
Yes, and it's awesome. I checked it out a couple of days ago, and I said, look at this. I said, this brother is on the move, just making some major things happen. And so what I'd like to do this part of the segment is kind of get into now as far as, you know, you already had fans following you from being a comedian. Now I'm sure your fan base has expanded even larger now with being the co-host on the Monique Show. Tell us how you were introduced to Monique and how did that golden opportunity arrive?
Well, you know, the comedy community is very small, and so we kind of knew of each other, and Monique had an assistant that was a fan, and so her assistant talked her into coming out to see me, and she saw me at the Comedy Store in L.A., and I guess she was impressed by my comedy, and she sought me out. She called me like 2 days later. And so I get a random call out the blue, and it's Monique. And, you know, we talked for a moment, and she was like, you know, I don't want to offend you, but would you mind if I take your wife on a shopping spree?
What?
And I was like, no, I don't mind. You know, and, you know, that was the lean years for us. That was the, you know, we was in a three-bedroom apartment in Inglewood, California. And so we said, yeah, and she took my wife out, and spent upwards of $2,500 in my house the following day, and that was my introduction to her, and it was a blessing to meet her then. And then we began to do comedy shows. She would call me every once in a while, Rodney, I'm here, I'm there. Can you make it to Chicago? Can you do this? Blah blah. And so I did those dates with her, and we would perform around. And I'll fast forward. Monique had a radio show. And she had a co-host on there, but for whatever reason, that wasn't working out. So I went out to a remote, and it was during the time we were about to elect Barack Obama, so it was a voting drive. So I went out to a remote up, whatever, recording out in the public, and I sat in with them, Monique and her crew, and we just had a great chemistry on the air. And the guy, unbeknownst to me at the time, was about to be, you know, replaced. And because of our great rapport, I became a front runner for that job. And long story short, I went in the day after we elected Barack Obama on a Wednesday. By Friday, they offered me the job as her co-host on the radio show. And that's where we really developed our rapport. That's where we really became friends and got close. And it led to what ultimately ended up being us on television.
Okay. I mean, look at God. You see what I'm saying? They're talking about right time, right place. Man.
There is no way I could have got on my knees and asked God for the blessing He gave me over the last year, and this is just the beginning for me too. So I'm excited about where it's going.
That is something else. And so, what launched you? Because I see that you're also part of the Blog Talk family. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
What was it that had intrigued you to begin your own show here on Blog Talk?
Well. While we were doing radio, the radio show was canceled. You know, it came and it was over, and I had no idea that TV was even coming that way. You know, of course, I had done Who's Got Jokes, but, you know, I really didn't, you know, I wasn't really thinking about hosting a nighttime talk show, but I always knew I wanted to do my own show. So I became aware of Blog Talk through a friend of mine. I just did an interview like we're doing now with a friend of mine has a show named Peasy's Place. And so I went on Peasy's Place, and Peasy was like, Rodney, you went on, man, and my number jumped like 50 or 60% just when you came on. He said, man, you should get your own show. I was like, what? I was like, you think so? And so I began to do my show, and my show is basically, you know, a one-on-one interview just like we're doing now. And I just tapped my friends, you know, people like Kevin Hart and Niecy Nash and all the people that I've come in contact with and became friends with over the years, those were my guests, and we had fun. And the only reason I stopped is because I started doing the Monique show. I just didn't have as much time to devote to it. But people don't know when they hear you on this show, this is not easy. I mean, you got a switchboard you're managing right now. You're managing a chat room right now.
Okay,
multitasking. You got guests. People
really?
Are flaking on you, you know, and, you know, so... People don't call in on time when they do call in. So I understand all that.
You feel that? I was just going to say thank you so much for being here properly at the time I asked you to, you know, because it is times where I've had, you know, guests on the show and my palms are sweating and I'm sitting here like, oh, Lord, it's 30 minutes into the show and I done promoted it, told everybody they're going to be here, and here they come an hour later. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Are you serious? You know, it's granted, it's
I had a false alarm today because I thought we were supposed to talk at 7. And I looked at my clock and it was 8. And I was like, oh, man. And then, you know, my assistant and my internet guru, Ms. Mad, was like, it's 10 o'clock, Rodney. She gave me a reminder. And she gave me like 4 reminders leading up to the show. So she made sure that I called in at the right time. You know.
That's it, yes. And I got to definitely shout her out. She's doing a wonderful job, you know, keeping it together and just, you know, making sure that, you know, we had this opportunity tonight. And so I want to say thank you so much.
I never knew I would need help. Like, I never knew it. I mean, I need help now. I never could have fathomed that I would actually need help managing my life, and I do.
Okay. That's it, you know. Now, Blog Talk, real quick, Rodney, hold that thought. I want to tell all the listeners in the chat room that what just happened a minute ago, Blog Talk was actually experiencing some technical difficulties, and so they're sending me messages now in the switchboard. So I just want to say thank you so much for calling back in, Rodney, and not hanging up thinking I left you hanging. You know what? That's one of the advantages of you being a host on the show, because you understand how folks can lock up and freeze up. So
right.
I'm glad. Yeah. Okay. I'm glad. So thank you. Yeah, you know, it's important that we have this discussion tonight. And I want for, you know, everyone to hear the hard work that you put, you know, into becoming successful. This wasn't an overnight thing. I mean, you have been a comedian for quite some time before you even had the TV show, you know, and I want for people to see the hard work and the discipline that it takes to be successful, you know. And so what I'm going to do now, Rodney, is ask you to take us through as far as, you know, with the Monique show, how often do you guys record the show? I'm glad that, let me back up for a minute. I'm actually glad I had the opportunity to speak with you because right now you guys are on break. And, you know, it's a okay. I'm just privileged because I know you're getting ready to start recording again. And so I wanted to grab you because I know once you get back in that studio, it's game on. So, I mean, tell us, you know, as far as how often do you record the show?
Well, we shoot 3 days out of the week, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, two shows a day. We shoot 6 shows a week, and that's just the raw shooting schedule. We shoot 3 weeks out of the month, so we shoot 18 shows a month. We shoot 150 shows in a season. That's more TV than most people do in their whole life, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's 150 shows. That's, you know, that's 151-hour shows, mind you. And so that's kind of the show, but it's other work that's required. You know, we produce segments. We do, you know, I do man on the street stuff. I go out and do stuff in and around Atlanta. I travel for the show. So my role is probably bigger than you see actually live on TV. And,
wow.
And not to mention that, I still travel and do stand-up on the weekends. So my schedule is pretty full, and I'm also stretching my wings and, you know, branching off into acting as well. So it's just a grind, but it's what I signed up for, you know, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Like, I tell people all the time, I tell my son especially, there's no substitute for hard work. Like, you got to be willing to work when nobody's paying attention. So when the light is shined on you, you know how to get it done.
Okay. Now, do you have an input as far as which guests and show topics that you'd like to have on the Monique Show?
Well, we have a unique system. Everybody from Monique all the way down to the PA can pitch an idea for the show.
Oh, wow.
And I've seen, you know, they take, you know, because, you know, we got a lot of people that's young that work for us that they're in tune with a group of people that we may or may not be in tune. So you'll see, like, Soulja Boy Teller, you know, and you'll see, you know, Ron Isley. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, and there are so many people that happen to be our color that haven't been showcased in such a long time. So that's why it's very important that all these people get that kind of some love, you know.
And that's good because you're absolutely right. It broadens your audience, you know, where everyone can relate to the show.
You know, in general, you know, for anybody that's got a potential guest, there are channels, and I usually give out the email of the young lady that's in charge, but she is there's a new lady that's going to be taking that position, and I don't know her information. Otherwise, I would give it on your show, but I just don't know it right now.
That's cool. Just email me, Rodney.
Yeah.
When you get it, email me, okay? And that way, you know what I'm saying? Absolutely. I would love to email her and, you know, give it out to my listeners on the show to help promote it. And so, you know, I just want to say that I think that is so important that Monique has an open ear, you know, that she's willing to listen and to hear out, you know, her staff. And, you know, it's not about the kind of show where it's parading her. She wants to be able to pull all y'all to the top.
Right.
And I like that about Monique. She is such a sweetheart. You know, she's been one of my favorite female comedians, you know, forever and a day. And now I want to ask you, as far as, you know, your day, take us through a day of what it's like to be Rodney Perry from the moment you wake up, you know what I'm saying,
okay,
to the time you go to bed. Run us through that, you know, to be a successful businessman. How you make it happen?
Well, during the season we're shooting, My wife and I, we alternate taking the kids to school every morning. So I'm usually up. If I'm taking the kids to school that day, I'm up probably by 6, you know, by 6:30. I let them snooze, wake them up, let them go back to sleep, wake them up again, you know, and, you know, get them a little breakfast, get going, make sure everybody's dressed. We're out of the house by 7:15 or so, you know, drive them to their respective bus stops and or all the way to school if they're running late. And then I'm back home probably by 8:15, 8:30. I, you know, do my grooming stuff for that morning or whatever. And then I'm out of the house headed into the set to be there for 10. I got my first meeting at 10, which is, you know, a production meeting for that day. I come out of that meeting at 10:30, go to a meeting with Monique, come out of that meeting. And then she and I have a little one-on-one time where we talk about, you know, whatever we're going to do, you know, in reference to the monologue. If she has anything specific she wants to cover, you know, I make sure the writing squad covers that stuff that day. And come out of that meeting, and I usually go to my trailer. I have a little small window of free time, and then I got the wardrobe people to come in, got my suits for that day, you know, and then I get my suit on. I get my go back to the studio, get the makeup and hair, come out of that, and it's about time. It's probably about 12 or so by then. The audience is in, and I walk on stage. I kind of join the warm guy and kind of get the audience riled up, and then a few minutes later, Monique comes out, and we do the show, hour and a half, come out of there, go to lunch. Then we do everything again because we have a second show that day, and then we finish that usually around 7:30, 8 o'clock. I'm usually at home. If I don't go have a drink with some of the people over at the work, at the job, I'm usually at home by 9, 10 at the latest, getting ready to do it again the next day.
All over again, okay?
All over again.
Man, woo-wee! That is something else. And so what I'd like to do is have you explain to us, you know, how dramatically your life has changed now since becoming famous. You know, it's probably hard to go to the grocery store now. You know, everybody, what up, Rodney? What's crack? You can't go to Walmart like you used to. I mean, what is it like?
I mean, you know what? It's kind of crazy. I feel it, but I don't feel it because black people are funny. Black people come up to you, but sometimes they don't. So it took over half the season before I start really feeling people that way. But I still go to the mall. I still go to Walmart. Granted, I go to Walmart like in the middle of the night. You know, I got a 24 Walmart right up the road. So I go there like, you know, I might go to Walmart like 1:30, you know.
Do you take a bodyguard with you when you go out, Rodney?
If that's what they call my wife. I don't travel with a bodyguard. The best thing that happened to me is it affords me an opportunity to tell jokes to more people. Like because of the popularity of the show and the popularity that I'm gaining from the show, more people will come out and see me. I can put my name on the flyer now, and now I'm the draw. You know, when I used to open for Sandy Entertainer, Steve Harvey, and George Lopez, and Monique, now Rodney Perry can sell tickets on his own name. So that's what the show has really given me, and that's the big blessing.
How would you feel the world would be if we had no comedy or laughter?
Oh, it would be a sad place. I mean, I once met a young lady, and they did a story on her on Oprah. This lady was a stage 4 cancer victim, right? And the prognosis was grim. She was gonna die in a month, and she started watching comedy. She started watching comedy DVDs, comedy stand up. Everything she could find, she watched to laugh. And she began to laugh, and her cancer went into remission. So to answer your question, a world without comedy would be a bunch of sick people about to die.
I'm laughing. I think that's a strong point that you just made because it laughter is just something that, you know, it's a universal message. And I think that it's important to make sure that we spread that, you know, especially when you're going through things like now with the economy and just people losing homes or jobs. Sometimes you got to laugh to keep from crying, you know.
Oh, my God.
I'm laughing because, Rodney, one of your fans in the chat room Madison Media Radio. It's funny. They said a comment when you were saying you have to get up and do your hair in the morning. They said, what hair? What hair, Rodney?
Well, you know what? That's a great question because people think I shave my head for the show, but people think I'm bald. I'm not bald. Like, I mean, I have great hair, but I shave it for the show because it's just so much work to go and get haircuts. And, you know, I mean, if you got a man in your life, it's a major to find a good barber, a barber you like, and somebody, you know, that's reliable and all that good stuff. You know, it's easier for me to wear my hair bald during the season because I can cut it myself and I can keep myself groomed without other people.
Keep maintaining it for you. Okay, I have another question in the chat room. It says, let's see, what's the question here? Rodney, will we see you on your own show, comedies, movies, TVs, et cetera?
I'm positive that you will see Rodney Perry on his own show. And I'm about to give you a scoop because I ain't told nobody this. Are you
okay.
ready?
Y'all heard it first here on Brown Sugar Radio.
First on Brown Sugar Radio. I just booked a movie. I'll be in Madea's Big Family, Madea's Big Happy Family. I just booked it 2 days ago. And,
you gotta go, Rodney.
I go to work on Madea's Big Happy Family on Monday. So,
you know what? I was just going to ask you, too, would you work with Tyler Perry? Look, you didn't already answer that for me. We got to give you big ups for that right there. Okay? Big ups.
Yeah. I think Tyler Perry is awesome, man. You got to think, this dude created his own genre. See, black people don't get genre. Like, white people can create little silly white movies, and that be the little silly white movie box that they can make movies in forever. But black people, everything we do has got to represent the entire race. We don't get to have genre. And Tyler Perry has created a genre. You know, people say, well, how come all this movie got to be so uplifting and happy? Well, that's his genre. That's his lane. You know, the reality of this life is you get a lane. Stay in your lane. Do what you do best. And that's what he's doing. So I applaud that dude. I'm a big fan of what he does. And I'll speak to this, and I don't think nobody have. The Boondocks, you know, they did the episode on, I think they hate us. You know, I think they're haters.
Yeah.
I don't know people's, you know, you can't, one thing I learned from Monique, you can't judge nobody. You don't know people. And so to do an episode like that where they bashing that dude and a dude that's employing so many black people and changing so many people's lives, that's whack.
Yeah. Okay, that's what's up. You know, I think that Tyler is doing a wonderful, wonderful job. Now, another man I want to give a big shout out tonight, Barack Obama had a birthday today. And so I got to say happy birthday, President. Rodney, what do you think? You know, as far as living to actually witness to see the first black president.
I think we take it for granted, you know, and I used to watch 24, so I knew it was coming. You know, I when they had Dennis Haysbert as the president on 24, I was like, uh-oh, we're going to get us a black president in my lifetime. So I'm proud of him. I think we as black people and Americans, we gotta stop asking him for everything. Like, people want Barack to do everything. People want Barack to figure out how come they down to pay for their bags at the airport. People want Barack to figure out everything. They want Barack to figure out how come the kids is in school and they ain't learning, but they ain't even going. They ain't been in the PTA meeting the whole year. But they want Barack to fix that. See, this is the thing. The thing that Barack created was inclusiveness. He included everybody in his campaign, and that's what was unique about him. So we can't stop our work because he's doing his.
That's it. You know, they want him to work miracles. I'm like, come on now. I think he's doing an outstanding job, given the fact that he, in my opinion, entered office during one of the most chaotic times in history. He's still trying to clean up everything
that
puts.
Your opinion. Everybody feel that way.
I'm like, come on now, give him some slack. You know, they said Barack ain't moving fast enough, and I'm so disappointed. Oh, give me a break. He told us from the very beginning. Didn't he tell us it may not happen during one term? It may not happen in two terms. It took years to get where we're at. So that's an excellent point, Rodney, that you mentioned, and I'm glad, okay, that you are really putting the record straight. He can't jump through hoops for everybody. It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
And happy birthday,
you know.
Barack Obama Obese.
Well, I have a little game that I want to play with you, and this game is getting to know Rodney, all right? I'm going to give you two words, and out of the two, I want you to pick whichever one best suits you, whichever one best fits your personality, okay?
Okay.
So, you know, like if I say apples, oranges, whichever one you like best, let us know, all right? So this is
okay.
For all the Rodney Terry fans out there listening tonight. Certainly, I want for y'all to take note of this so you can get to know them a little bit better. Okay, here we go. Rich or famous?
Wow, famous.
Caramel or chocolate?
Caramel.
Peace or love?
Peace.
Richard Pryor or Eddie Murphy?
Wow. Richard Pryor.
Kevin Hart or Tracy Morgan?
Kevin Hart all day.
Trey Songz, R. Kelly.
R. Kelly. My mind is telling me no. But my body. My body. Come on, man. R. Kelly all day.
Stand up, side town, what? Beyonce or Alicia Keys?
Beyonce all day. Alicia Keys got big knees.
Collard greens or chitlins?
Collard greens. I don't mess with no chitlins. And I do eat bacon, but I don't like chitlins. I never have.
You don't do them the first of the year?
Never.
You know,
I don't mess with no chitlins. I don't mess with no chitlins. I don't eat chitlins.
You said it ain't that serious, is it?
I never been
basketball.
I don't eat. It ain't but a couple of things I don't eat. Chitlins and liver.
Okay, yeah, liver, I can't have, I'm cool on that, I don't do lima beans
and,
either.
And certain girls. No, I'm joking.
Look at this now, huh? That's, okay, basketball or football?
Football.
California or Georgia?
Wow, good question. I'm gonna still say California. I spent many years there. It's California.
Yeah. Hot or mild?
Mild.
Sexy or sophisticated?
Sexy.
And last but not least, Michelle or Barack?
Oh, Barack. Barack, yeah.
Good,
Barack.
Okay.
You know, without Barack, ain't nobody asking about Michelle.
Yeah. This is true. He the one putting it on out there. All right. Well, look, I'll tell you. So there you go, all of the – I got a listener here that's typing your answers in the chat room so that you got – are you – those are your answers, Madison Media. All these Rodney's answers, you keep it for the fans so they can get to know him a little bit better. I just want to say that it has just been a blessing, you know, watching you evolve and grow into this massive businessman. I mean, you are branding yourself all over the nation, and I just want to applaud you for that, Rodney, because it means a lot to me to see a brother doing his thing. You ain't out there selling dope, pimping, you know what I mean? You're doing something positive in the community. Okay.
You know what? What's dope is that people even notice. Just for you to say that to me is very powerful because you live your life in a bubble. Like when I'm working, especially, I go to work and I come home. I go to work and I come home. So I don't even know if people appreciate it. And then you go on the internet and people blog and they say mean stuff about you. And so you're kind of privy to that stuff, you know. And my friends tell me, I don't read the bad stuff, but I read that stuff too. So when you say bad stuff about people, it hurts a little bit. But at the same time, when you get good vibes and good energy, that feels good. So you just got to understand that's the straw that you pulled, and you got to take the good with the bad. So, you know, I don't fault any of it. I wouldn't trade one second of my career, the good or the bad, to be in a different place right now.
What would you say, Rodney, is one of the most valuable lessons that you have learned in the entertainment industry today?
Oh, man, there's so many lessons you learn. When I got to L.A., all I asked God for is to give me the gift of discernment. Let me tell good people from bad people. And I've had, you know, my share of those people, good and bad. And the best lesson I learned is that it's always inexpensive to deal with somebody that do you wrong. And what I mean when I say that, like, I had a guy, right, one time, a comedian. I booked him for a show, small show in L.A. Nobody get more than $50 to do anything in L.A. unless you're doing a big show. And so I booked this guy for like $40 or whatever to come out to this little room I was doing. He came out, but he doubled back behind me and talked to the promoter. And so that night he ended up getting paid twice.
What?
And once we realized it, you know, the promoter wanted to call him. I said, no. I said, if he don't call back and say, you know what, I was a mistake, y'all both pay me. Because I was willing to give him the money, really.
Yeah.
He was worth the money. But the fact that he took that money and thought he was getting over, that was a $40 lesson that I got for cheap, that I don't have to work with that guy no more because I learned that he's not trustworthy that day. So, you know, when people try to do you wrong, just look at that as a cheap lesson learned. You know, some lessons we have to learn at million-dollar expenses. So I would rather learn it for 40 than a million.
For real, okay? That's what's up. Now, would you find that people try to, you know, get in good and smooth you and all that kind of stuff now since you have been good friends with Monique, you know? And if so,
let me tell you though, since Monique made this Oscar run, I get so many Monique calls, you know.
Uh-huh.
I get everything from, hey, can you tell Monique I say hi, to tell Monique I love her, which I love that, and then I get, see if you can get me on the show. I get that. I got this one. Hey, Rod. Hey, homie. Hey, I got this movie for you. I'm like, okay, tell me about it. Well, it's the Madam C.J. Walker story, and I'm like, you want me to do Madam C.J. Walker?
No. What the man?
No. What it is we want Monique, you know. If you just get to her, we may have a role for you. I'm like, really?
That's,
you know, and you know, I went to Monique early on. I was like, I know people going to get at me to get to you. What's my answer? And, you know, I just refer, you know, everything to her lawyer, which is my lawyer, too. And and so I refer all those inquiries to him, and he weed through them. And if they legit, you know, he reach out. If they not, he don't.
Look at that. Okay, and I know, I mean, part of it is, you know, everyone wants to be a part of success. You know, everyone wants to feel like they're a part of the winning team. But, you know, when do you know to push back and say, look, you know, enough is enough?
Well, again, this is the, you know, I use the analogy. You ever see the old movies when they have to draw straws and the short straw is stuck out, you know? Well, you got to live with the straw you pull. The straw that I pull, the entertainment, the comedian, the actor, you know, the public figure, when I pull that straw, all that other stuff come with it. So I can't get mad at people getting me that way because that's my straw.
Yeah, that's real.
You know? I wouldn't put this straw back for another straw for the Walmart worker straw. I don't want the shoe town straw. I don't want the mall, the dude that work in the mall security. I want his straw. So I take my straw and I'll be happy with it.
Look at that. Well, I just think how God is using you is such a bright light, you know, for African American males exclusively, but the community as a whole, you know, and I just want to encourage you, you know, continue pushing. And I can't wait to see this new movie you're going to be in with Tyler. I'm telling you, I had a premonition before this show. I promise you I have one of my questions to ask you. Was would you consider working with Tyler Perry? And so here we are, two incredible men, you know, working together in unity and harmony, you know, blessing us with talent.
I just found out his birthday
is
like 2 days before mine, too, that which is interesting.
Oh, look at that's an interesting connect.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing.
And he's
Robbie.
Only 1 year older than me, which is crazy to me. I'm like, because, you know,
that's
you got to think, Tyler Perry is only 41 years old. And to be
a
millionaire at 41.
Oh, good grief.
That's I ain't made my first million yet. I ain't made my first million. But it's coming.
It's coming. It's coming. I see it for you. You know what I'm saying? With the type of ambition that you have and the drive, please. You already got a million-dollar mentality. You feel me? You got that, so you already
there,
Rodney.
That should be on the shirt. I like that million-dollar mentality.
That's right. You know what I'm saying? Write yourself a check. Right now, this is one of the theories that I've done, and I've been praying for God to bless my radio show to continue to grow. And I got this idea from Kamora Lee Simmons, and she said that what she did when she was beginning her modeling industry, she wrote herself a check out for $1 million. And she put it up on her mirror in her bedroom, and she would visualize and look at that check every day and imagine herself cashing that check. Well, many of you already know the story of Kamora Lee Simmons. She can probably cash about maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 of them checks now.
Easily.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, with no problem.
Okay? And that's what my goal is, you know, to be able to be financially independent, doing my own thing. You know, have a national syndicated show, and I'm visualizing it, and I wrote it down, you know, and so I know God is going to answer it for me, and I know he's going to do it for you too, Rodney, because you have faith, and you have, you know, drive, and you know, with you just continuing, you know, to move in a positive manner, God is going to honor that, you know, because it's a good man that steps that are ordered by the Lord, so you better go ahead, Rodney, okay?
Hold on now, girl, you ain't preaching, did you?
You better go ahead now. I'm so, so proud of you. Like I said, I know you got some things to do. Rodney, I don't want to let you go. I actually kept you a couple of more minutes past the time because we lost a few minutes with the show, actually, the blog talk locking up on me. But they sent me some messages and explained what happened. It was actually all of the shows on blog talk, not just Brown Sugar Radio. All the shows had a glitch at that moment. So everybody got kicked out of their switchboard. But it's all good, Rodney. I just wanted to keep you a few more minutes. Can you do me the honor of please doing a drop for me on Brown Sugar Radio right now?
No problem. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Rodney Perry from the Monique Show. And you know you tuned in to Brown Sugar Radio, the sweetest thing on the airwaves. Woo! What is that? What's that, Brown Sugar? Okay.
Oh, Rodney, shoot out your Twitter and your Facebook links, because we do have a lot of new listeners that just joined us. Please repeat that for us one more time and give us any of your upcoming events.
Shout out, this is Rodney Perry. I'm at Rodney Perry on Twitter. My website is rodneyperry.com. My Facebook is full, but I have a fan page, and I do have a new Facebook page that I opened. So it's the one that says Rodney Perry in Atlanta. That's my new Facebook page. Shout out to everybody. I'm really into social networking, and it's me, you know, and I respond to people, and I try to stay up on it. I am busy sometimes, so if I don't get right back to it, you don't, no charge it to my heart. And I appreciate your time. I know you have a choice of who you interview, and for you to want to talk to me is a big deal for me.
Absolutely. I would have it no other way, Rodney, no other way, because you have just been a blessing to me. And so please shout out to Monique. Let her know Brown Sugar Radio said what's up and keep it moving on BET. You know what I'm saying?
We go back to work. We go back to shooting in September, and the show debuts October 4th is what I've been told. So y'all look forward in October.
We'll be
back with brand new shows.
Okay, one last question, because I know you're busy. You got to get back to all six of your children. But
my family is right now. They out by spending my money, I think.
Okay, they missing in action. Who was your favorite guest on the Monique Show?
Big Daddy Kane.
Oh, he works, He gets the job done.
I'm such a Big Daddy Kane fan, and and he came on the show, and it was like it was a situation where, well, I wasn't sure if he's going to even be able to come, and he was able to come. And so, you know, that was one of my favorite shows. We did a show with the old school hip hop cats, and he was one of them. And yeah, that was one of my favorite shows, the Big Daddy Kane.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-mm-mm. Wow. All right. Well, Rodney, our time is coming gone. And like I said, I'm going to keep following you. I got you on Twitter. I locked you in. Tried to get your Facebook, but I did find your fan page. So I got you on that one because a friend stepped up. You was right. And so certainly add me too, Brown Sugar Radio.
And see your Twitter.
Yeah, so we can keep in touch with one another.
I'm looking at bringing back my blog talk show. So
stay
tuned.
Do.
I'll be sending notes, and maybe I can interview you someday.
Yeah, okay, for real. All right, well, when I cast that check that I got on my mirror, huh? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, that's it.
Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Good night. All right.
Brown Sugar Radio. Yeah.
Thanks, Rodney. All right. Well, all the listeners that are in the chat, I just want to say that Rodney, he has just really been a blessing tonight. And certainly I want for all of you to take the time now to join his Facebook fan page as well as him on Twitter. Also, to follow me on Twitter. I have a goal. I'm trying to reach as far as new listeners. Spread the word about brownsugarradio.com. But my Twitter, which you know is twitter.com/brownsugar, S-U-G-A, radio. Check me out Facebook. I've also opened a fan page on Facebook. Ed Lips, I've seen that you caught on to it. I sent all of my friends an invite to certainly join my fan page, and it's linked to facebook.com. Brown Sugar Radio Show, all right? And then if you click on my page, or you can even do a search on Facebook, Brown Sugar Radio. Please, you can add me as a friend. I'm not filled up like Rodney, so I can still accept new friends. But if you contact me as far as on my MySpace, it's myspace.com/BrownSugarInVegas. All right, so those are the three pages where you can holler at your girl. And like I said, please spread the word about Brown Sugar Radio. I'm looking to expand the show and to constantly grow. And tomorrow night, we do have a special treat for all of my loyal listeners. We have Marissa Swan doing her thing, and she is going to be educating us on how to care for black hair. She has all natural products. The name of her company is called Bare Fruit Hair Care. And so that is going to be exciting. And tomorrow night, like I said, you want to definitely mark your calendars at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time is when we will have Marissa Swan coming through on the live show on Blog Talk Radio. And then next week we have on Tuesday, Big Capo is a West Coast rapper. He also did some collaborations with Cocaine. Many of you know Cocaine was a West Coast pioneer. He actually appeared last month on Brown Sugar Radio. And then on Thursday, August 12th, we're going to have Creeping in the Church House with my guest co-host Sound Off. And so that's going to be a very controversial show. And like I told all my listeners before, if you can't say amen, say ouch. So definitely make sure that y'all keep it locked and loaded on your premier choice in internet radio. So at this time, we're going to go ahead and close. And my listeners, y'all know how I get down. I like to close with a quote, something inspirational, something to kind of make you realize that, hey, life ain't that bad after all. You know what I'm saying? Well, certainly. I understand we all go through our different trials and tribulations. But the quote that I am going to end with this evening is one of my all-time favorites. And it says, if you're having a setback, don't step back because God is planning your comeback. All right, so, hey, it is what it is. Y'all make it the best. And I just have to say thank you so much for tuning in to Brown Sugar Radio, where entertainment is extraordinary. Y'all make it a fantastic and very, 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 very blessed night.
Now it's time for your reality TV show update with your man, Spanky Bryant, this week on The Real Housewives of New York City. This is worse than any family reunion I've ever been to in my life. Jill admitted she asked some of the housewives not to tape Bethany's new TV show, Bethany Get Married. Kelly is crazy. Ramona got all up in Jill's face about her surprise visit to St. Bart's. It's all about you, ain't it, Jill? Jill, I am so sorry, and started crying. Kelly is crazy. Alex came out of her shell. Jill, you're in high school, and I'm in a boogie-down Brooklyn trying to make a living. And even though your husband is gay, you go, girl. Did I mention Kelly is crazy? Ramona is crazy, too, but she was pretty rational. Stayed out of the whole Jill-Bethany mess, but she jumped all over Kelly about the trip to Poison Island. Kelly is crazy for real. Sonya was cool, calm, collected, and kept it real. Countess Luann rode the fence like John Kerry in 04. I don't take sides. Stupid, you're taking sides by not taking a side. Kelly needs Jesus. Jill Zarin got hit in the face more times than Robin Givens by Mike Tyson, but she admitted all night she was wrong. We'll see next season. Kelly is really crazy, y'all. That's it for your reality TV show update with your man, Spanky Brown.